so.
Right.
I'm going to turn this on. That's going to be recorded. This is, what? February 6th? That's on the coast?
Yep. Yes.
And, our conversation hasn't been spiritually productive, but at this point, but it will be. I have joked with Chuck a lot over the last few months about seeing a big buck, you know, and then he couldn't see it, and we've been joking back and forth, and I told him that he had to have eyes of imagination. You know, eyes of imagination in order to see this buck. And anyway, I started thinking about the scripture in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where it says, casting down imaginations. Well, it doesn't say that in other translations. That's the only translation I could find where it says that. And the rest of it says, casting down rebellion, or... Well, let me see if I can...
Rebellious thoughts or something?
No, let me see if I can find it again.
What was the scripture again, Keith?
2 Corinthians 10:5.
Okay.
You want the King James or you want something
no,
else?
No, I quoted the King James. But in the New King James, it says... Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And so for the most part, the rest of them say arguments.
Really?
And which I understand. It's the same thing. But the image is an imagination. We have to have eyes of imagination to see the big buck that I don't really see. And so anyway... An image is a replacement for the real thing. That's what it says in the dictionary. It's the closest that you can see to the real thing without being the real thing. And the King James says casting down imaginations or images. And the things that have been placed, have been planted there but are not the real thing. See how quite did it get here. And what has happened, and I'm really excited about some things that are in the process of happening, but it says, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then it says, casting down imaginations, images that people have formed in their mind. You know what? You know, you ever hear the saying, you can take the boy out of the country, but you'll never get the boy out of the... Get the country out of the boy. You've all heard that, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, a strange thing. A person had been brainwashed in the Trinity since they were little. Men bet they've done that. So you could take the person out of the Trinity, but you can't take the Trinity out of the person. And I'll give you a good example of that. And if anybody's familiar with it, I am. People, Don Burnett, no exception, they got delivered from the Trinity. Azusa Street was people were filled with the Holy Spirit, but it was but they were Trinitarian people. The one thing that they would not let go of, even though the Holy Spirit was there to guide him and help him in the truth, they couldn't let go of the Trinity. It was too deeply embedded. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they can say, well, back to the Bible. We're going to go just by the Bible. You can't go just by the Bible, because in your head and in your image, this image that's planted inside of you has the Trinity image of Christ being a God. So you can't go back to the Bible. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So you go back as far as the Trinity, but you can't get past it. And so the Azusa Street Revival is going on, and all of a sudden there's a big split, because God began to reveal to a bunch of people, but a lot of the people that were in one of the big meetings, that the Trinity was not right, and that there was one God, and so forth. And in the beginning, it was one God, and you know the scripture that we have at the church in 1 Timothy, that was kind of the way that they saw things. There's one God, one mediator, which is the man Christ Jesus. But they saw that first. But you know what? You can't get the Trinity out of the person. Because what happened? The oneness have got this concept that Jesus is a God. They couldn't get rid of it. And so what do they do? Jesus is his own Father. So today, Jesus is God himself. That has developed, it has happened into the United Pentecostal Church system. Are you following me? They never got the concept out. And if we're gonna follow God and obey God, we're going to get the concepts. Those things are going to be removed too and replaced. So when you see the thing that says that back to the Bible broadcast and some of these things that have taken place over the years, there isn't such a thing. It's only back to whatever it is that you're grounded in. That's as far back as you go. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Unless God can break a people away. I want to be broken away from it.
The Holy Spirit should be able to do that.
Wouldn't you have thought that at Azusa Street it would have straightened out? They got so mad at that group of people that said that Jesus, that there was only one God and not three. The Azusa Street Revival people got angry at those that were pulling them away. It was about 1910 or so. Wouldn't you think that, you know, just like on the day of Pentecost, and I'm going to write this to a couple of people that I really impressed to do so, but like the thing that would reveal to us that on the day of Pentecost, here Peter stands up and he says in verse 22, second chapter, verse 22, he says that Jesus was a man approved by God. And then he says, let the house of Israel know certainly God had made this Jesus that you crucified. Would that be a man? Both Lord and Christ. And then he says, you know, a little later on, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And my thing is, and I don't know if you've all recognize this or not, but here is Matthew, who wrote the famous Matthew 28:19 scripture setting that the Trinitarians have based most of their theology on. He's standing right next to Peter, and Peter is saying something opposite of what he said. And my thoughts are, wouldn't he say something? If Peter was wrong, wouldn't there have been a correction? Do you follow me? What kind of an apostle was Matthew to not correct Peter in this thing?
Did any apostle correct Peter? Ever?
Did they ever correct him?
He's kind of a bullheaded guy.
I'm thinking of once Paul.
Paul did, yeah.
Paul called him out.
That's right.
But other than that, the only one that kind of got
on... wasn't about that.
Yeah, it was about that. The only person that ever got on Peter was Christ.
As stubborn and bullheaded and whatever he was, the things that he said were phenomenal.
Well, he certainly used him.
Yeah.
And he used his personality, too.
Yeah. And so Jesus gives him the keys to the kingdom. And I thought about it a lot of time. I thought it'd be like certain people like it, they have given them the keys to the kingdom. I don't think so.
I was just going to say one comment about the setting here in Azusa Street. While that was a mighty work of God, they certainly didn't have the fullness of the Spirit.
No.
And to me, all that says is you're going down the path and you think you got it. You better be open to the fact that you don't got all of it.
You know, I think that Peter was used, you're right, as an illustration. Peter is mentioned the most, but all the disciples did the same exact thing. You know, and in fact, it's a place that it says, and they all did likewise, but they used Peter. So anyway, they were all Peter-like. They were all like each other. And,
Peter says, even if everybody else forsakes you, I'm not going to do it.
Well, everybody,
and they all said that.
Everybody thought the same way. And then, you know, when we think about the keys of the kingdom, we think about Peter with keys of the kingdom, but he's not the only one with the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom are accessible to everyone. We think that Peter has the keys of the kingdom, and that's it. It's Peter only. It's not like that. You know, it's like Jesus said, and now salvation comes to your house. It's like, oh, so it's only just that house that is saved? No. It's just because of what happened, they're saved. Everybody has access to the kingdom, or to the keys of the kingdom. Everybody can have keys. If not, we're all locked out. The kingdom. We all can go in. You know, it's not Peter. He's not the only holder of the only set of keys.
I never thought of that before, but I think you're right.
Yeah. No, I'm fine. Yeah, it was funny. I was reading along, and that this whole thing keeps coming back where I dwell on it again. You know, that humanity, and in Acts 10, it's interesting because Peter, you know, he's dealing with Cornelius, or he went there to pray with him. Let's see. So I put 28, but that is, it's just talking about, you know, a Jewish man wouldn't go into the house of a non-Jewish guy, but the Lord commanded him to do so. So in 31, and said Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon at Tanna by the Sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. And you understand the emphasis I'm making here?
Yeah.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace. Now it's interesting. The word which God sent to the children, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. See, why would he have to be anointed if he's this almighty? And, okay, anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witness of all things that he did, both in the land of the Jews and whom they killed hanging on a tree. Him, God, raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who is ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive remission of sin. And then it's, well, and it says, while Peter was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who heard the word.
You know, you really have to work at it. To
yeah.
You really have to work at it.
Right.
You know, if you just read the thing,
yeah,
there's not much question.
Who's in control? Who's doing everything? Who is, you know, and who's doing it for Jesus? You know, he had to be anointed by God. He had to be raised from the dead by God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I had a couple of other ones too where it focuses on, says, be of one mind that you may magnify God. That's in Romans, I think. Or glorify God. That you might, one mind to glorify God. You know, the emphasis is God.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had a little better grip on what it means to be glorified.
Yeah, that you know, I wrestled with that term for a long time and never really got a good full meaning of
it. It must somehow mean that you are in some ways been granted characteristics that are somehow godlike or something. You know,
yeah, I mean, it gets used in kind of some different uses, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of not the same always.
Yeah. I mean, it gets when Jesus told Mary, Magdalene, touch me not because I've not yet been glorified. Well, there's going to be some kind of change in status.
Yeah.
Now, I don't. I don't. Maybe people have thought that to glorify means to make him God, but I don't think that necessarily follows.
You know? No, because I know I've read where it says we are glorified also.
Yeah. Okay. You know, if I had to explain what glorify was to a kid, Felicity, I would say, you know, when somebody says this person is like this, like that on steroids. It would be like they're on steroids of God, kind of like godly God.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah, right.
To be glorified is made godlier. You know, because, you know, we are godly, but glorify is godlier. You know, godliest.
Uh-huh.
You know,
godliest. Uh-huh. It appears that a number of times that Jesus was saying. To, you know, he's saying, Father, you know, glorify yourself to me.
Yeah.
In other words, is not God glorified by anyone who have the faith to believe him and accept him?
Yeah, that glorifies God, right?
Yeah, it glorifies God.
Yeah.
And so God was glorified through his Son.
Yeah.
You know, and he says, well, glorify me with the same glory we had before the world began. Who knows what?
Isn't it like a somewhat synonym of exaltation?
I was just feeling like when you were saying that.
Probably.
It's like, you glorify me because you've accepted my plan, my, you know, work that I want done.
Yeah.
You know, you're doing my will. Yeah. So you're fulfilling my desires, you know, that I want in my people.
Mm-hmm. And yet, I'm thinking there must be several different meanings because when Jesus told Mary, because I've not yet been glorified, he's talking about some kind of difference in status. And it was Jesus that appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road.
Right.
You know, that was Jesus.
Yeah.
In glorified form.
Right.
Somehow. But, you know.
Well, in that context, yeah, I've kind of come to feel like that's what gave him the same abilities to be everywhere, know every thought.
Yeah.
You know, right. As God had, like the mind of God or whatever.
But that is, doesn't make him God. It makes glorified man really something, though.
Yeah.
But, you know.
If in the, on the Mount of Transfiguration.
I was just thinking of that, yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
Well?
It was God, God glorified him somehow.
Uh-huh.
Of course, so
did the same with Moses and Elijah.
I was going to say, they were somehow elevated and exalted too. And the thing is, how did they know who they were?
Yeah.
You know, and of course, maybe Jesus told them, but.
Well, maybe they knew in the Spirit somehow.
Yeah. Well, I'm wondering.
Well, that's right, because they weren't around. They were.
They didn't see him.
Finally taught me that those two were long gone before the disciples were born. Dumb little things like that you just don't.
Just a little.
Yeah. Well, when someone said, how did they recognize him? Then I thought, how did they recognize him?
Caused
by the Spirit.
Be known.
By the Spirit. Fear can teach you.
Probably says that Jesus was talking to them about the things that were going to happen. So, you know, in conversation, they probably were you, Moses, and you, Elijah.
Figured out from
Canada. Right. That's they awesome. Overheard.
Yeah, right.
I mean, to eavesdrop.
I've searched Glorified. I've got a few scriptures I can read if you want to get some of the flavor on.
Okay.
John 13:31. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him."
That's what I'm talking about.
2 Thessalonians 1:12. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians 1:10. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you. John 12:23 says, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Oh, he repeated that. Sorry about that. John 12:16. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. John 12:28. "Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." John 14:13. "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." There's several more. But I mean, that
sounds like a term that John used a lot. It gets used a lot in the Gospel of John.
A lot of John, and then Romans 1:12. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile, and their foolish hearts were darkened." So that seems like holding back. Praise.
Yeah, exalting.
Then 1 Peter 1:21. "Through him you believed in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." Just to get away. But, yeah, most of those are John. And I don't know if I read this one, Acts 3:13. "The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus. You handed him over to be killed."
There's none in the other Gospels?
Well, not on this search so far, but I mean, you know.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
So John, 2 Thessalonians, Romans, Acts, Romans, 1 Peter.
Yeah. You know, you would think that to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and speaking tongues and so forth, you'd think that might count as being glorified, but they never use it in that context. But, so that's a different deal somehow.
Right. The Holy Spirit moving does not mean glorified.
And when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you are not glorified.
No, glorified
filled with the Holy Spirit.
Glorified. It's in.
I'll take that though.
Yeah, not a bad place to be.
No, right.
Yeah, I'm not shirking from that. But,
yeah, right.
But it does sound like it's an exaltation. Mm-hmm. You know,
in some aspects, and then in others, it's like a. Fusion or combining or something, or you know what I mean, a melding together or something.
Well, he was lifted up to that, you know, he went into the heavens. That was probably an aspect of glorification.
Well, here, John 17:4, where Jesus is talking, I have glorified you on the earth by completing the work you gave me to do.
Yes.
So yes. I mean, it's kind of like, okay, there was, you know, by doing your will.
Right. So without faith, it is impossible to please God. But what if you have faith? Does that glorify God?
Sure.
Sure it does, because you know you can't see him too, you know, you don't see him, so by faith you believe him, you believe something that you can't see. That defies all of human logic and nature and inner man. It defies everything. And yet from our standpoint, you know, something that happened just the other day, little Caden, go ahead.
John 7:39, kind of to the point. Who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified.
Hmm.
Yep. So it does sort of tie those two together a little.
So anyway, here he is. He's born in 10:10:10. So how old is he?
He's 10, or he's 8.
Okay.
I know that because Kieran's there.
Yeah, he won't be. Maybe he's going to be 9 days October. Yeah. So, anyway, he's telling some of his friends about his healing when he was a couple years old. And I don't know that he remembers that, or does he remember it? Hmm. But anyway. So here he is. He's reading his Bible. He's 8 years old, and he wants to. You know, I mean, just something's happening to him. And I told Brittany, I said, I want to get a hold of him, and feather that a little bit, do something to it, you know, whatever I can do. But anyway, does that glorify God? So when we can't see him, he's invisible. And so Jesus says, Thomas, you're blessed, doubting Thomas. He says, but you believe because you see. Blessed are those who, having not seen, still believe. Well, we haven't seen him, and yet we're believing. Every day our belief is getting stronger. My belief is stronger today than it was a week ago. Why? Somebody explain that. But my question is, does that glorify God? Isn't that faith? Faith mm-hmm. glorifies God.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah.
Does mere faith glorify God, or acting on that faith glorify God?
Both. Well, I don't know. I think it's not faith unless you act on it.
Well,
is it?
That's my question. Can you have faith that you have faith, but you know, I have faith,
well,
but
well,
you can't.
How did James say that? Works without faith is dead. Or no, faith without works is dead.
And that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, faith without works
is dead. So do you, you have faith, but if you don't have any works with that faith,
yeah,
according to James, that's dead.
But what are the works?
That's what I was just going to say.
Well, that is it.
No, but it says right there what works. He's not talking about all. It's explained specifically what he's talking about. He's saying basically somebody's, one of your brother is hungry, and you say go be filled, and you don't give him food, then that's faith without works. I might not be super accurate, but he's talking about those works. Unless I'm not talking about the same thing.
You know, it's almost like saying this rock or anything is just sitting there not moving. It has a lot of energy. Well, how could that be? To have energy requires movement to move, you know, and so you couldn't have static faith. It's that, you know.
So, all right, we're not. We come. We don't hear too many testimonies these days. About 15 people came to the Lord when I was preaching, or you were preaching, or whatever. But is there works being done here?
This is works. Yes,
I believe so.
Yeah, oh, I know so.
Because yes. if this isn't works,
this is works.
You would be dormant. You wouldn't be. We wouldn't be having these, or we'd just be reading something that
right.
by a pamphlet that was sent out by a synod, you know.
It's like dark light or something. You know, you can't have a dark light.
I mean, because we're acting on faith right. that we're getting and truth that we're getting, and so that's preceding it forward, which is works. You know,
right, yeah.
For one, there's that other verse that says, they said, well, what do we need to do? What works do we need to do?
Well, see, that's why we are trying. We're trying kind of to avoid a little bit this work thing because
yeah,
those works, the different works.
And they said, believe on God.
Yeah, see,
that's the work,
right?
You know?
So you do need works, but the right
and you
the
do
right
need
works,
the other too because
the right works. You know,
and I feel kind of guilty. I get kind of convicted by James all the time when I read it, but
she's fine.
You know,
she's a pretty tough task. Ask her.
I mean,
I get convicted by a lot of them.
I mean, it's you know one of the dumb little things that's happened this week is like, so should I go out of my way to pull my car around, turn around, left, to go over and give money to the guy standing on the corner with a sign?
Oh,
you know.
I
don't go out of my way. No. I can roll the you know.
I used to.
Anyway. I don't go out of my way to do stuff like that. I mean, this is just a personal thing. I'm not saying you should be like me, but I don't go out of my way. But if I have something I can give and the light is red and he's right there,
yeah,
go down the way.
Well, even then, yeah, not necessarily go out of your way. I shouldn't have said it that. But sometimes you're in a place where it's almost impossible to get to him.
No.
In the car. You know?
No, we are supposed to help and give. No, we're not supposed to, but, you know, it is more blessed to give than to receive, right? But, so you can give to someone. Now, if this guy is going to smoke it or drink it, that's none of our business.
That's right.
And sometimes he's like, well, no, I'm not going to help him because he's going to smoke it up. Well, that's not for us, you know what I mean?
That is so, it's such an excuse that people use.
It is an excuse.
But it's not, that's not the right way to look at it.
I've used it.
No, I think that way too. Some, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
There seem to be some kind of professional sort of panhandlers, but how are we going to make that call? You know?
Right. We just got to help.
As I drive away, I've had that thought. You know, like,
well. We certainly don't want to get caught up judging it.
No.
But sometimes we think real hard, go, we justify.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
We justify a non-action and try not to judge. Trying to thread that needle. I don't know.
Well, it says, give to whoever asks. So everything I get in the mail?
No. Okay. Correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't say if your brother...
Yeah, it does say your brother. Okay. That's true.
Okay. I say your brother. There's a difference between a brother.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not trying to again justify again like you shouldn't help it if it's not your brother. Yeah. So if your brother is the difference. Now, kind of off the subject, but there's guys that are begging that would rather beg because they make more money than if they had a job. You know what I mean? But that's what keeps the world turning around anyway. You know what I mean? I mean, you need people that don't go to college so they can work in a McDonald's, or you know, you wouldn't be able to get a cheeseburger for a dollar. You know what I mean? We need everything that we have. We need all this weird stuff.
Yeah.
You know, we need poor people. We need rich people. Yeah.
Glenn, have you, I imagine you've wrestled with that whole idea. Have you kind of come to a thought on, you know, how you handle panhandlers or the guy that's waiting to, looking for, you know, he's got a sign there saying, anything you can give me?
I ignore him.
Ignore him.
I do, because, well, haven't actually panhandled, but when back in the 60s, when my wife and I were first married, I worked at the, a little testimony now, I guess, as long as you brought it up. I worked at the John Deere plant in Waterloo, Iowa, and I got laid off the same night my oldest daughter was born, and we were kind of stuck in Waterloo, Iowa. We ain't been there long enough to get benefits from the state. We had to get them from Wisconsin, and that existed like $12 a month. Okay? Well, that's not enough. But, okay, so we spent, yeah, I started breadlines before in my life, and looking for handouts, you know. But that was for food for a family. Now, I'm not saying the guy that's panhandling on the corner has a family to support. I don't know that. I'm assuming he's out there for his own benefit.
Sure.
Now, that's my assumption, and you know what assumption breaks down to. Mm. But I don't. Today's society, I don't trust him. I'm sorry to say.
No.
You don't know what that guy has in his mind.
Right. No, you're right. That is a
reasonable way,
yeah,
of looking at it.
Yeah. Yeah. You roll down the window to give him a dollar, and then he takes your,
yeah,
everything else you got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or throw something in you.
I mean, if you look at Facebook every once in a while, you'll see all these gimmicks they're coming up with now, like throwing an egg on your windshield, and then you start getting,
And then they what? Grab you, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah. And,
or like the one they told about where the lady went in to pay her gas bill, guy jumps in the back of her car, she didn't lock it. You know, I there's too much stuff out there right now that, you know, I'm a little leery on. And you know what? There's a lot of places a guy can get help to. You know.
Oh, that's true.
But like I said, we've been there, you know, been that, done that, stood in bread lines, stood for handouts, you know. When we tried to get back to Wisconsin, all they would do is take us to the border and drop us off. Well, that don't help me. You're stuck in the middle of nowhere. You know, if you're coming back through Plainview out there in Minnesota, you know, there ain't much out there. It's a pretty desolate area.
Plainview,
you know.
Yeah. I think go through Plainview a lot.
You know, so you know how open country that is. You know, so I mean, no, I'm sorry, but that's, I do ignore him. You know, I feel sorry for him, but, you know.
Well, it's a strange hour that we live in. You know, it's like a lot of things have changed. We, Charlie, has anybody else been part of this longer than you? Than Charlie, part of our church?
No, I guess not.
Okay, well, you've seen some of the things I've seen. And we have taken in families.
Oh, yeah.
And we've taken in, over the years, a lot, maybe you guys have seen some of this, we've taken in all kinds of people that... we get a telephone call, and my wife was famous for that. Well, we need to help them, so we'd set them up. We'd have them; they could live in somebody's house or stay in somebody's house for a while. And we found out that was their lifestyle. They did this all over the country.
Well, remember that one time, I don't know how many years ago it was, but that group came into the church at Christmas time. They were looking for presents.
Okay, you were your son.
I was, yeah, I gave them $100 bill because I thought they were really hurting. Well, I found out later, it was a scam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. So, I mean, yeah.
Were you here then, Pablo?
I can't make a picture, but
maybe you heard the story too.
No, I was here.
Oh, were you?
So what it does, it puts a funny thing in your mind, in your head.
Yeah.
It does it mind too. It's kind of like you want to help them, and maybe it's like Pablo says, by rights we probably should. But I have the reservations myself.
Yeah. Hey, I've given a hand to people that sometimes I wish I would have.
Yeah.
Well, but I still, you give the hand, and I know what I.
God bless you anyway.
Right.
I mean,
right.
You're doing it from a good heart.
Right.
You know. Right. I mean.
Helping out at that Sojourner House when it's 30 below, and there's homeless people out there that are going to be outside if without something like that. That's they probably brought it. A number of them brought it on themselves. Now, hey, you can get hit by bad luck. You can. Sure, the landlord kicks you out, and but no, you're right, Glenn. You there's been enough ugly taking advantage, making a fool out of you, in a sense. But
who knows?
Too bad we live in that kind of world.
Yeah, it is.
Just a little kid. My parents, I told you this before, they were alcoholics. We were homeless. We drifted around. We spent time in tents. We slept wherever we could. But we were homeless until the state came in and took us away from them. But, I've been down that road. It's a lot of things in my life that are probably a little different from everybody else's. But you know what? Somebody's got a worse problem than I had when I grew up.
And people pray on the charity of Christians.
I used to get those phone calls. I'd be up in my office taking. We solved that problem. We don't have a telephone at church anymore.
But Barbara and I have given money to people when they need it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh yeah. You folks are generous.
It's like. Just because I don't know you don't mean I shouldn't give to you, but if I know you and your situation, I'm more apt to give to you than a stranger. Because I know you, your situation better than...
Kind of like your brother.
Yeah.
Your brother,
Yeah.
And I would hope that the Holy Spirit would provide some assistance in those cases. If there is a really genuine, urgent need, I would expect a little bit of prodding from him. On the other hand, if I'd feel a little check, if this is all basically a scam,
give, yes. Give to the poor, yes. But do you have to always? No. If not, it doesn't make sense. Jesus says, the poor you will have with you always.
Right.
You know what I mean? So if a poor person, if you give him, a homeless person, if you give him $100, he will still be poor, even right now. With the $100, he will still, because there's nothing he can do with $100. He can buy a house or a car, nothing. He'll eat, and that's it. A poor will be poor unless somebody dumps him in a job with a house and a car already. You know what I mean? So there's not a point of help. You're just the poor. You might maintain. You just keep him from dying. You don't get him out of poverty. But you can't. It's impossible.
But then, that's some people's lifestyle. Homeless.
Yeah.
It was like on the news the other day, that one, I don't remember where it was, but they were going around picking them all up, and he said, no, I got my tent, I got my propane, I got my heater, and I got everything, I'm staying right here.
Yeah, you know.
But he didn't want to go.
That's no different than the guy that wants to go up and live in the mountains.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's his lifestyle.
They want to be solitude,
I shared in church this a while ago, but the poor... The poor are happy.
Yeah, they have a lot less words.
Let him be poor. Jesus said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Now, we wanna make him to be like us. Why? I mean, just they're blessed.
You know.
So this is an anti-blessing pack.
When we moved, I can attest, when we moved over here, and after we'd been here a while, and I hadn't gotten a job yet, and I was looking, you know, and everything, it got down to like, I mean, lots of peanut butter sandwiches and soup, you know. But it was funny, Pam and I think we talked later about it. It was, life was so simple though.
Mm-hmm.
You really had no worries except to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever, you didn't have to worry about meeting this obligation or where you're going to spend this money. Mm-hmm. You know, there just wasn't no money to spend other than.
Yeah.
And actually, it was good.
Yeah.
We were happy.
Yeah.
You know, even though, you know, but. Yeah. It was simple. You didn't have all these extra responsibilities because you own so much.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, or whatever. So
see, a poor person, a homeless person, that's the life they know. That's what life is. If they eat once every 3 days, that's what life is. Now, if we compare ourselves with celebrities, they have a million times more money than we do. In their mind, they would look at us, it's like, how can they live in a house with one bedroom per person? You know, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? They must look at us like, how can we possibly do that? But in perspective, to the poor, us, we are average, let's say, to a homeless or poor people, we're like, how can they live like that? But to them, they might be looking at the worms under the rocks. It's like, how can those worms live under the rocks? And they're happy. We are happy, the rich people are happy, everybody's happy.
Most of the rich people ain't happy.
Yeah. Although, you know, I have spent times in my life of economic anxiety. You know, bills that need to get paid and not enough money to pay those things, responsibility for family, you know. Now, it would have been nice to, you know, take Jesus' view of the thing. He clothes birds. He feeds the birds. He clothes the lilies of the field and whatever. But I know that sense of economic anxiety, mm-hmm. which is a little different from being poor. Mm-hmm. I recognize that.
Mm-hmm.
But you got bills and you don't have enough money to pay them, and you don't want to. You know, your pride gets in the way of looking for charity or whatever, and it's miserable. I have been miserable with economic anxiety.
Yeah,
I understand that's different from being poor.
Right,
but that is a bad state.
You know, no matter who you are, it depends on where you are with God, because a homeless can feel just the way you were talking about. About food, and we, you know, because it's just a different perspective. It's still where who God is to you. You could be anywhere. It's just whatever God will take care of you, no matter what you look like to the rest of the people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and quick parenthesis: when things look, you know, that they're not gonna work out financially, let's say in Miami. Kenny will always say, God has always taken care of you, and he will take care of you again. And I want to say, no, he's not. He's like, no, he doesn't look like very promising. But you know what? He's right.
Yeah, it is true that not having enough money really provides a wonderful opportunity to see the glory of the Lord. It does. Jean told the story about, she didn't have much money when we were kind of courting. You know, but they didn't have any milk, and I sent over a jar of milk so they'd have. You know. That jar of milk lasted for several weeks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were poor. You know, thing didn't empty.
Right.
Thing didn't empty. You know, well, the Lord wouldn't do that.
unless you really need it, you know, really need
that
jar of milk to last,
right?
You know.
Well, yeah,
but
one thing about being poor is, and I can relate this, when I first time I had to use go to the store with food stamps, way back when, it sure was hard on your pride.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. By golly, when you're poor, you don't have pride.
We were on food stamps once for a little bit.
Years ago when the recession kicked in, I had to. It was either that or not eat. And I could have gotten a job for minimum wage. I wouldn't have. Wouldn't have worked. We would have still started.
You know, and it's kind of funny. You gotta look at this too. Being poor in the natural doesn't mean you're poor in God.
No.
And you know, I kind of kicked this off by saying, you know, faith without works. So, and then now we're trying to figure out works. And
yeah.
It's kind of interesting. What happened was we all said, well, what do we do for the guy who maybe is panhandling? I'm going, well, that's true. I mean, that's a thing to talk about. But what about a work where you're, what's most important to God? You share the good news. You know, that's the work, and that's a work that's got eternal life potential. And me too. I'm not saying you go like, well, could we give money, clothing, or housing? You know, food. You know, all those are, you know, Jesus said, and all those are worth nothing. You know, what about eternal life? And it's we forget that money is not, or comfort doesn't necessarily get you where you need to be, as you were just touching on. I mean, I've testified many times that when things are tough, for whatever reason, God seems to do something. You know, and in my case, he just sort of I think I walked the epitome of the horse and the carrot. He always has a carrot out in front of me, and I'm always going after it. But he's making me go. I mean, the net result of that is at least I'm moving. Hopefully that's God's carrot, and I'm moving in the right direction.
You know, the issue with making more money or whatever, it's like the more money you make, the higher your standards become. Not standards, but the way you live. Yeah. Now, when you don't make as much money, now you have to go back down to less fancier clothes and less going eat out and less of this. Now, a poor person, if they have one less dollar,
no big deal.
Now, like, I always think about the lady that gave two mites, remember?
Yes.
It's kind of like a weird scripture because, you know, everybody put out of their abundance. You say, imagine, must have made a lot of money still, but out of their abundance. Now, so the people that gave out of their abundance, they were still rich or normal or whatever. They still had whatever they... And the poor lady, she gave all that she had, right? Two mites. Well, if I give all that I have, I lose my house, my car, my groceries, my bank account, that will take me a few months to build, years to build it back up. The lady, the two mites, she will make two mites in the next hour. You know what I mean?
So maybe.
Well, in a day, you know, twice must be the minimum, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Well, there's that one, and there's the other one about what else do I do? And Jesus said, just sell everything.
That was what I was thinking of.
Sell everything.
As you're just saying, to do this, like, sell everything.
But you know, it's like we have to, you know. Man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another story of a publican, and was it Zacchaeus, the little guy that was up in the tree, and he says, "I will give half of my goods." You know what? Half of his goods, he still had a little money.
But you know what? Half of your goods is still a lot of stuff.
But then he said. But he went farther than that. There was two parts to that.
If I cheated anybody.
I'll pay him four times what I cheated him.
So he was a cheater, we know.
But what I'm saying is, it was not necessarily even the everything. Right. It was the attitude that was in the man's heart
mm-hmm.
that made the difference.
Right.
And that we got, we have to remember that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like I think that we are seeing a phenomenal change in us, and we say, well, you know, we're not seeing lots and lots of people, and the thing is, and I thank you guys for keeping me in check, because I have never seen anything or ever heard of anything that resembles what God is doing in us. I've never heard of it. Because one of the things I said today is that, you know, you can take the boy out of the country, but you can't take the country out of the boy. You can't take inherited doctrine. You can take somebody out of their former doctrines. It's hard to get the doctrine out of the people. And the Trinity, for instance, we can say, people can come in now and they can believe in that Jesus is a man. They can believe all kinds of things. You know what? The concept of that Trinity that's downside inside of them somewhere will rear its ugly head until God delivers them from it. It's a concept. Mm-hmm. It's an image. And it was in the oneness people. Even though they came out of the Trinity, it was still in them. So what do? They turn around and make Jesus a God. Based on what?
Well, based on
all the miracles he did.
Based on the teachings of man. The Trinity or whatever is taught by man. And when Charlie was saying earlier, like, oh, man, you really have to make an effort in order to believe the Trinity. Well, the only effort is like to listen to man. If you listen to man, you will believe. If you're comfortable listening to man, now, if this, it might seem like not real, but I believe that. I mean, whoever believes a false doctrine is because they're listening to man only. There's no way that you could read your Bible and believe all this other stuff.
No.
There's no way.
No, you're right.
And I remember when I first started listening to the scriptures, I did have, you know, background a little bit. And I was like, why is my just huge question? I mean, it's like, and I only have the book of Matthew. It's like, why is everybody doing this and this and this when the Bible says this and this and this? It was a huge, huge, huge. So there's no way anybody. Anybody.
Your neighbor probably.
If believing in the Trinity is the result all, right? Of listening to man only.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, listening to this, I am reminded of the story of.
Car's purple, dude.
What color?
Oh, it just took off. It was a white colored car.
Truck?
No.
Was it Candy's car?
Somebody's out here. Something just banged out here.
Burglar, give him everything you got.
Oh, it's that Eli.
Sneaking around.
I thought he didn't get his hair cut.
No, what happened to your hair?
Well, I cut it. The guy told me, or like, I wanted to keep it long, but then the guy like organized it like a bunch.
He doesn't look organized to me.
Well, to me, it looked organized.
You did not cut it.
Yeah, So in class, like, my major problem was, like, when I looked down, it fall like, red in my face like this, and it was cut right here, and it was down here at first. So you cut this, if that makes sense. It doesn't fall in my face as much, but I can go like that, and I don't know. I like it. So.
Are we done?
No, you don't have to turn it off either.
But I have groceries at this clinic, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, just get ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, you know the story of Ananias and Sapphira.
Yeah.
He represented that he had given all. In actuality, he held back. And that is something like what's going on here.
You know what?
You know.
You know, if I'm reading that right, and I've heard that a lot, it's like you guys have a lot of times. He didn't have to give it all.
No, he didn't have to give it all.
He could have given what he wanted.
And he represented.
He had to be honest. And he would lie unto God that you can't. You don't get away with that.
Yeah. But you know, but when we, you know that song, I surrender all. We make that claim, but we don't surrender all. You know, we don't give. You know, if we pushed all the poker chips into the, you know, whatever, then I think we wouldn't have these false concepts, or you know, I don't.
And you know what? It doesn't even, that to me has nothing to do with goods. That has to do with me surrendering all.
Yeah.
Not, it doesn't matter what I own or anything.
Yeah.
That's the way it is.
Well, I was kind of equating, you know, the...
Well, and I'm saying, yeah, I surrender all, yet I go off the next day and I do this and I do that.
You know,
oh, God, I forgot about you.
I'm starting to wonder if besides Jesus, is there anyone that's ever walked on earth that has really surrendered all?
No.
You know what I mean?
Not.
So
there were one for sure.
Yeah. What?
Jesus.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Outside of that.
Yeah.
So it's like, in a way, you know, we have all these things that God wants us to do, but like we don't do them. Somehow, it's still pleasing to God. This little defects. You know what I mean? It's not fair. It's not pleasing, but God knows that we can't surrender all. We are flawed. And I don't think that's, and we are flawed. We are going to die flawed.
Well, it's a process.
A process, but you know, with all these things that we are ought to do to make God, to please God, we always mess up.
Fall short.
Always. And I'm not trying to say, hey, you know what? Let's keep this enough. You know, no, I'm not saying that. But that's where, you know, that's where Jesus comes in handy. You know what I mean? So I don't try. I know I'm gonna always mess up. But you know, I hate to say it, but God chose me. I didn't choose Him. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to be relaxed myself spiritually in any way. I don't. Listen to scriptures. I pray. I try to do the right thing and all that stuff. But, you know, I want to surrender all. I want to have my thoughts in God all day long. Yeah. But I don't do any of that stuff. And again, that's what Jesus knows. Unlike you guys.
There's a key that is starting to come to us. And Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. What does that mean? What can you do without him?
Nothing.
If that's the case, then he has to be a constant companion.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes, that's right.
That's our weakness.
Yeah.
If it was us and him, we're okay.
Right.
But we forget him as well. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder if it's like a little bit like Jesus compliments. He's our complementary. He's like, whatever we can't finish, he will finish for us. Whatever we can't do, he will do for us.
When I finally saw what it was saying in the 16th chapter of Mark, where it says the Lord working with him, we're talking about Jesus himself. Jesus was working with the church. He was the one that was confirming the word with signs following. He was right there with the church. It was him and the church. It was him and Paul. It was him and Peter. It was him, you know what I mean? It was this closest, and we tend to just kind of leave him out of the picture. I mean, maybe you don't, but I do.
Oh, yeah. No, that's the
and,
way it is.
And the thing is, you know what? He wants a relationship with me. he says, you know, you haven't chosen me, I've chosen you. And he wants a closeness to me. Jesus does. And what I'm starting to get to the place where I want a closeness to him. And you know what? You can't have it unless he's a man. You can't have it unless it's truth. Are you following me? He's a man. He's a, and right now, you know, all we have is his spirit, a spirit sense to go by. But I was thinking something. I mean, I'll try to say this as unemotional as I can, but, you know, Joanne passed away, but her spirit never left. Her spirit is in this house. And there's times that she's sitting right here somewhere. And I don't mean that her spirit did go with her or whatever else, but I mean the spirit of Joanne is in this house. And the spirit of Jesus has got to be in us. Yeah, we've been talking about the spirit, and you're probably all thinking now of what weird thing you got off into now. but the thing is, the spirit of Jesus.
Actually, you know, I think it's this. Well, I don't know if it matters. It says have the spirit of Christ in you.
Yeah, it's like there's a relationship with him that we have not yet come into. I haven't either. I just know that it's available.
And you know what? You know what's the key to a lot of this and a lot of what you were saying and what I say too, I keep failing. But he's given just enough faith that I believe if I keep seeking, he can get you to any of those places.
Yes.
Yeah, otherwise it'd be hopeless.
Yes, like I said, you know, we will always fail, but I am not the same man internally or externally
that
I used to be. I'm definitely
and you know what?
A more Christ-like person in action and in mind, you know, and in spirit or so, whatever. I have grown now. But I'm always going to fail. Always.
And I think it is important, as long as that failing is in you, that it be offered. Don't hide it in any pocket.
Well, now I have a curious question for you. After the acts up in the room.
The what?
After the Pentecost, day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
With the apostles. Does it ever say after that they failed?
Well, I don't know that it says one way or another.
Well, Peter was there and he failed.
Failed when?
Paul rebuked him for having separated himself from the Gentiles.
Okay, well, I couldn't think of one. Yeah. But I mean, it was like, yeah, that would be.
Yes, on Paul. I mean, come on, they could try to do it, I mean, yeah, if Paul.
Now, Paul wasn't there, but he was filled with the Holy Spirit.
He had the same experience on that road, right? So that helps clarify for me.
Paul says, you know, so because of grace, should we keep sinning?
No.
Certainly not. You know, I mean, don't think that because you're not going to be, you're always going to fail, to purposely fail, or.
But it looks like as they're going on in their ministry, there's less and less examples of it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like they kept getting more and more into doing more and more his will.
Well, every one of you guys, now Pablo has really changed. And according to some of his friends back in Chile before he came, see, I didn't know the guy that got on the plane. I only know the one that got off the plane. And what a transformation has taken place just since I've known him. But you know what? You guys are all like that. I have never seen transformations that people like has taken place in you guys.
That's true.
I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? And this is kind of what...
Susan?
This would probably be a good place just to end this. Good night, whoever you are.